At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Penny.
And I'm Greg.
And this is Just Jen Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Disney Plus show Just Jen, Attorney at Law.
This episode, we're covering season one, episode six. You guessed it, Just Jen.
What did you think?
This was a for a bottle episode. I guess you could call it a bottle episode. I mean, I guess it wasn't because you also had the B story. that was over at the law firm. But I really enjoyed it, even though, you know, they fixed some things that I've had issues with in other. In other episodes, which I, you know, which I will talk about, but I feel like this was a really fun episode, although I'm still waiting for certain things also that I will talk about later.
Yeah. I was very impressed with Jen's dancing. I thought she had some great moves on the dance floor.
She was having a lot of fun, or at least drinking fun.
Yeah. Drinking fun. Yeah, and we drinking know that Jen always can't handle her liquor like She-Hulk can.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I did think it was, there were a couple of those parts that were pretty entertaining to watch. You know, it's reminds me of, I think it was Jeff Foxworthy or Bill Engvall who talked about, oh, you know, Mary Lou's dancing by herself. You know, her top's coming off tonight. I mean, but yeah, that's specifically what it reminded me of.
I've been at enough weddings where I'm like, the only person I know is the bride. So I'm that girl dancing by myself on the dance floor because I literally don't know anyone. And then I'm always like, why did I come to this wedding?
Well, because you felt obligated, right? Because you knew her, and you know, how do you say no?
Yeah.
You just say no.
It turns out you just say no.
Yeah.
Oddly, it works all the time. Yeah. Just say, I can't make it. And people who are planning a wedding rarely follow up on that question.
Yeah. If you say you can't make it, I mean, unless, if they make a plea to you, then, you know, maybe it's a little bit more difficult because, okay, you know, they're actually asking you to go, not just asking out of obligation, but like, hey, please come be in my wedding or be at my wedding. All right.
Yeah.
So. That's awesome. First section, breaking the fourth wall. We only had two that I saw, but maybe like half of a third. We had, obviously, you know, the opening. Yes, it's a self-contained wedding episode. And if you think it's an inconvenient time because you just saw Daredevil's helmet, you're right, because that's how weddings are. But I'm going to look great, so let's go.
The next one was after Lulu told her to be Just Jen for the wedding. Yeah, obviously, this is the one time I didn't want to show up as Just Jen.
Relatively apparent, right? She is becoming more happy with her She-Hulk body. She's got some clothes that fit, which I did have issue with the clothes. But,
me too.
But then she, like, but then there was one thing when, Mallory told Nikki to just not to tell Jen about the website and all that. And it mm-hmm. looks like for a quarter second, Nikki looks at the camera. I don't think that it was actually intended that way, but it was almost like a, like looking at us and going, ugh. I was like, oh man.
Like, you know, I'm going to tell her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to go back and watch it again and see if I see it.
Like, it's literally a blink and you miss it type thing.
Because if Nikki joins her in breaking the fourth wall, that would be really delightful.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nikki's take on things, especially, you know, with her revelations this episode, It was good.
Yeah. She's clearly incredibly smart and good at reading people, Nikki.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she would be a great assistant. I mean, I understand she's just a paralegal, but I mean, she would be a great assistant. And I'm hoping that this interaction with Mallory maybe boosts her up the ladder a little bit.
I would hope so.
I also don't know if she wants to be boosted up the ladder. I mean, if she's making the big bucks or the medium, slightly less than medium bucks that Jen's making, then, you know, that's great. All right. So we want to move on to points. How about you start off with your lawyer stuff?
Yeah. Not a ton of lawyer stuff to talk about this episode because Jen was mostly at the wedding. I just thought it was really bordering on malpractice to not have a specialist in divorce law included in representing Craig Hollis, Mr. Immortal. I thought that was really weird. I also thought it was weird that none of the exes had a lawyer. There was like none of them. There's 8 women or 7 women in there and no lawyer with them. Or I guess 6 women and 1 guy, Sebastian or.
Yeah. I mean, 6 spouses or Spencer. seven spouses.
Yeah. 7 spouses. Just wasn't that interesting from a legal perspective this week. Not that much to say.
Yeah. I was curious if you were going to have stuff to talk about as far as the settlement cases go.
Yeah. That was so far outside the norm that it doesn't count as legal stuff. Okay. That's just silliness.
And it was silly. Yeah. But yeah, so it was pretty, I'm going to tag on to, because this isn't one of my points, but so divorce, it is hard. Having conversations with your spouse saying, I just don't love you anymore. You're emotionally suffocating me. Yes, those are difficult conversations. We don't always, all of us don't have the option to just jump out of a window or run into traffic. I did wonder how his husband had a funeral. Was his body just not there? Didn't quite understand that. Did he lay in the casket until it got buried in the mausoleum and then he just got out?
Creepy.
I would have found that interesting to find out the details of that. I mean, it's like, oh, you're really dedicated to this, huh?
Yeah. I wondered that in general, because when he jumped out that window,
it was very quick.
He recovered very fast. Right. So it just made it hard for me to believe that he was able to consistently fake his own death. Although I guess if you live forever, you get good at it after a while.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you do get practiced at it.
Like if you're choosing to fake your death to end a marriage, you make sure that they think your body's gone or something.
Right. I did think that the a couple of his lines were pretty funny. If I live to be and I will.
That was a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you recognize him? Because he, the actor is named David Pasquese or Pasquese, and he played the Major Domo on Book of Boba Fett, who was hands down my favorite character on Boba Fett. And also Andrew Meyer, who's the ex-husband of Selena Meyer on Veep.
On what?
Among other, he has a lot of other comedy roles on his resume, but Veep and Book of Boba Fett were ones that I was most familiar with. Yeah.
I was not familiar with him. I thought he was funny, and his general attitude was really funny. I did think that the statement for a guy who hates conflict so much, he keeps getting married, which is weird. There's no way to increase conflict rather than get into a relationship. Just saying.
It's true. And if you want to make it really hard to get out of it, get married.
Yeah. If you want to make it even more complicated.
I understand why he would have gotten married the first few times. But then, after that, it seems like it's just mean. Because he knows he's going to leave this person at some point.
Well, and I'm not trying to go off on a tangent here. But part of not just the spice of life, but part of the enjoyment of life is having someone to enjoy it with. And, if you know that they are going to die before you are, then like, hey, like, I, you know, I'm not going to get in a relationship with a mortal because I am never going to die. Well, that seems a little silly to not, you know, enjoy. Now, you might want to share the fact that you are immortal with them and spend some time with them. Maybe not get married, though. Yeah, maybe have a girlfriend for a long time.
I just don't understand the marriage part because, well, I guess with that one person, he had a kid.
Yeah, I mean,
she didn't seem to want him to be involved, though. She just wanted money.
It was funny. I was with him for 18 years, and she was with him for 3. And most of these women seemed about the same age.
Yeah.
So it seemed a little odd to me that that they were, you know, I don't know how long. I mean, let's just say they were in their mid-50s. So that's 30 years or so. Like, did they have?
Did he overlap?
Yeah. How much overlap was there? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Any other? Well, I guess you said all the lawyer stuff was done, and that was kind of the lawyer portion of the episode. All right. Well, I'm just going to, for my first point, I'm going to go ahead and give a high five. The CGI was fan flipping tastic. I was wondering if, like, her foot and shoe getting out of the car when she arrived at the wedding, I was like, that looks like practical effects. That doesn't look like CGI. When she walked up in the dress, the CGI was phenomenal.
Fight scene looked great.
Oh, God. Like, every portion of this looked like the first portion or the first episode. Yeah. And I mean, now we're into, this is episode 6, and we're closer to when they may have gotten a little bit better. And hey, we know that episode 1 was originally going to be episode 8. And so, I mean, this episode was fantastic. The only time I thought about the CGI is when I thought about how good the CGI was, because I wasn't as frustrated as I have been in other. So maybe it was the clothes. Maybe they just got better. Whatever it was.
Yay.
Yeah. I like, if this is the standard, all right, Marvel, you or Disney or whomever you are, you got it figured out. Keep that stuff up. Keep it up, please. Cause it is phenomenal.
Yeah. When she was sitting on the ground and she was trying to turn into Hulk and she was drunk and her feet like expanded and then contracted, I was like, that looks like it's really happening.
Yeah, exactly. It was so good. And it just makes me go, maybe they just spent all their money on like these particular episodes when like you could see her toes and you could see, you know, when she's just in the boxy suits and she looks like crap, then don't worry about it. But yeah, it was so good. And I have to applaud them because it was phenomenal.
I'm so glad. Yay. Cause I thought so too. And I was like, oh, I hope Greg likes it too.
Oh yes. It was, oh man. And let's be really, really honest. Both Tatiana Maslany and She-Hulk version of Tatiana Maslany are stunning. And even though they kind of play her down, play Jen down a little bit and make, I mean, the you've got huge boobs.
Yeah.
All right, that's a different point, but yeah, so the CGI was really good, including apparently the huge boobs.
I mean, Tatiana Maslany is like, you know, she's Hollywood plain, which is like really, really gorgeous, but they put a little bit less makeup on her and put her in like not low-cut shirts and slightly too large clothes, and so they can pretend she's not gorgeous.
So like, I watched the first episode of Orphan Black, and at least whenever it started, like, she was totally smoking.
Like, oh yeah.
I mean, and she was wearing things that made it apparent that she was very attractive and, you know, phenomenally built. And I was like, whew.
The first clone you meet is the Sarah character, right? Yeah. And she's like the bad girl with the leather jacket.
Gothy, and then she's walking around in super small panties and
she's very sexy.
Like an Iron Maiden t-shirt or something like that. And yes, she's very sexy. So that's it for my first point.
Oh, cool. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Mr. Immortal because I just found him really hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And the divorce settlement, which I don't count as lawyer stuff, was really funny. The my favorite one being a sincere apology with eye contact lasting no less than 15 seconds. And then when he tries to get it lowered, Nikki's like 20 seconds. It'll be 20 seconds.
Nikki is so good. And Mallory was having so much fun with that.
Yeah. The two of them played off of each other beautifully in the whole Mr. Immortal plot, the looks that they shared. Like at the beginning, when Nikki first goes to Mallory's office, there's all this awkwardness, right? Like Nikki doesn't know where to sit and she's just being really deferential. And then as soon as Mr. Immortal reveals what a tool he is, the two of them instantly become one. And then they're just like, and there's a scene where they're like at the end of that meeting, right before he jumps out the window, where they're both talking to him at the same time about like how, what a horrible person he is and asking him questions and stuff. And you can't understand what they're both saying, even with subtitles on. I couldn't catch all of it, but it was just clearly all the kinds of questions that he tries to avoid in life. And that's why he takes his own death.
The two of them together, like were overlapping each other, was so good. And I mean,
funny and natural.
Yeah.
And then the way he just got up and walked out and jumped out the window. Like,
yeah, straight up swan dove out the window.
And then they go up to the window and look down there like, oh, okay. I enjoyed all of that. I thought the wives or ex-spouses were pretty funny. They all were sort of justifiably done with this guy. When he was like, I truly loved each and every one of you, they laughed at him. Everything about the Mr. Immortal plot was really fun. I hope they bring him back. Like I said before, this actor really charmed me in Book of Boba Fett. I really loved him in that role.
I do. And, wait, yeah. So you say the major domo, and you mean the major domo of the little tavern?
He's like the mayor of the village.
Because the mayor's majordomo was the one he left behind.
Yeah.
Who was the one who was stuck there? Because you said majordomo, and I was thinking of Boba Fett's, and that was Matthew Berry. Matthew Berry? From What We Do in the Shadows and the IT Crowd. He was the voice of the robot.
Right. But this was the first guy who had the.
No, yeah. He was the guy with the big tentacles on his.
Yeah. I can't believe I remembered the word Twi'lek. Yeah, I feel like such a good nerd. but yeah, his performance as the majordomo was so, you know, like he was so deferential and polite and yet also haughty and above it all and like effete. And
now that you say it and I remember that, I'm like, okay, yes, that is the same. Like I recognize it as the same like facial features and facial expressions and way of talking.
Yeah. I loved him in that show. But when he came on here, I didn't recognize him, right? All that makeup on Book of Boba Fett. And so I had to look it up. And then I was like, oh my God, of course. I was like so excited to see him again.
Present your nerd card at the end of the episode. We validate. It's cool.
Okay. Thank you. That's good to know. but yeah, the eye contact apology also shows up in the end credits with a picture of Nikki holding up a timer and he's all sweating.
And the ex-wife is like, has like her fingers pointed at her eyes. Like I'm looking at you like right here.
That was
so good.
Really fantastic. And when Nikki and Mallory were bonding, we get the very key pieces of information that Mallory has been married for 11 years.
Yeah.
And that her anniversary is the day after her son's birthday, but then she cuts off all questions. So her son is not just like, I have a kid. He's in third grade. There's something there. There's a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dead, missing, superpowered, in a coma. Something's going on. With her kid. But I knew that Mallory had a life outside of work and that she doesn't bring it to work. She's like, she's got two different worlds. It's really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm looking forward to hearing more and finding out more. And, like, again, I'm here for it because the actress and the character are a lot of fun, especially in contact with the other characters that we know and love.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen too much of Mallory, but what we've seen that she is very capable. She's very smart. She knows what she's doing, except, as you say, maybe having a specialty lawyer for divorce cases. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about Mallory.
Yeah. The actress is crushing it. I think she's also incredibly beautiful. Like, I can't take my eyes off of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she and Nikki had, like I said, just really great chemistry and very, very clear, like, mutual respect by the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Even though, you know, Mallory shut it down, I mean, that's enough questions. It's like, yeah. Okay. And playtime is over, or at least, you know, question time is over. And now we can just go to have a fun time looking at weird videos of our client being stupid.
Oh, yeah. That's my second point.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to shift back to the A story. My second point is wedding tropes and how they played each of these. So we have a bunch of them, right? I'm just going to list off a few with small examples. So you have the bridezilla. All of these people are quitting because of, quote, how I treat them, end quote. And then you have the bridesmaids, or if you've ever been to a wedding or been a part of a wedding, where it's like, oh yeah, the bridal party will just help clean up, or hey, we're going to save some money by not having people, you know, hired to clean up. And then you're like, okay, well now it's the end of the wedding or the end of the reception and we're all picking up glasses and trying to, I mean, don't get me wrong, I am totally willing to do that because I am cheap as all get out, but it is like, oh, now it's your last responsibility of cleaning up after everybody.
I've definitely been that bridesmaid where I've had to clean things, set up things that were not expected to need to be set up,
right?
A lot of manual labor of like creating party favors always falls on bridesmaids.
Wrapping silverware.
Oh god, I haven't had to do that. That's horrible. I've had to tie a lot of bows on like little tool bags of candied nuts.
Oh yeah. Oh, candied nuts. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan almonds. It's a wedding classic.
You know, are those the chocolate covered Jordan almonds or like the candy covered ones?
Yeah, the candy covered.
Yeah,
ones.
Like the different colors, like the pink and the blue.
Yeah, they're pastel, so they're very weddingy.
Yeah, those are really good. Sorry, I'm focusing on the taste of the candies and you're talking about how wedding you they are. So bridezilla, and we have the bridal party having to like pick up or do whatever. Jen ended up having being on ironing duty.
Seemed like the other bridesmaids were doing that to be mean.
Well, so very specifically, before she walked into frame, I heard them say, oh, we just make her do these types of things. And I was like, oh, that's really mean girl style. And I noticed at that point when I heard that, I was like, they are very specifically excluding Jen. But when she's She-Hulk, they're like, oh, we're trying to keep it clean now. So I'm just going to say, these straight up bees to Jen, and Jen just needs to learn how to say no. Like,
yeah, these are not her friends.
No, they're not.
These women, and she wanted to show off to them, right? So we get a little bit of this, the vibe of the backstory. We don't get the facts, but these are girls that she knew in high school, right? Who were probably mean to her then, and she wanted to be in their group. And so she put up with, she probably did their homework and stuff like that, right? So they've always treated her like that. And now she's She-Hulk. So she wanted to show up to that wedding and be like, you can't treat me like crap anymore. And, Lulu shut her down and said she had to be just Jen. And it was really interesting how that played out.
Well, and that kind of leads into how you, and something that Jessica Gao was talking about, before the show came out. That she, when she presents as She-Hulk, she's treated one way, and when she presents as Jen, she's treated another. And what I think that Jen needs to learn, or I hope that she does learn, is that she is the same person. It's not just because she isn't 6'7" and, you know, with, I'm sorry, I'm stuck on it, huge boobs. Like, she can still assert herself. And
yeah,
I'm really, really looking forward to seeing the when Jen embraces herself and can be Shulky in Jen form.
Yeah, I hope that's where we're going, because she acts very differently in the two forms. And there is some like theory or whatever in the comic book history that when she's in the She-Hulk form, her actual emotions and motivations are a little different because she has more adrenaline and things like that when she's in She-Hulk form.
Almost like her brain changes.
Yeah, so she's like more aggressive and more confident. But I agree with you that she needs to have some of that She-Hulk vibe spill back into Jen, because Jen is a fabulous person who just, you know, she sort of gets in her own way. And
yeah, she went to law school. She was a badass lawyer. She was a great person. It feels like the only time that she like started shrinking is when she was now being compared to She-Hulk. And yeah, you know, and maybe it was just the familiarity of the scenes that we saw with like Dennis or whatever, but yeah, it feels like I'm rooting for Jen to be Jen, and or at least for some of She-Hulk to rub off of Jen. And I keep saying that like they're two different people, but they're not. She presents as two different people, but she's the same person just in different bodies. And I mean, it's frustrating to see someone that you're cheering for be run over like that.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a doormat as Jen.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's just so that we get to see her change.
Yeah. The last, me too. The last thing that I had was the freaking old dog in the Jonathan. I was just like, are you like, I get
don't
it.
Forget, he also leaks. He's an incontinent elderly dog.
Like, oh, you know, we had to resuscitate him last night. I'm like, oh God, like we literally are just, we're just inventing ways to embarrass Jen and to humiliate Jen.
Also, that joke already happened on Friends. I feel like they could have at least made the dog different.
yeah, I mean, yeah. You're not wrong, but yeah, it was just kind of like, it was almost like last week where it was like, one more and one more and one more of the men there to embarrass her. It's just one more thing to bring Jen low. I mean, don't get me wrong. And it made it when she hulked out and straight up just nailed Titania to the wall. It made it that much more satisfying, but it still was very hard to watch. In the moment, and go, just stand up for yourself. Say, I'm not walking down the aisle with a dang dog.
Yeah.
Or
say no to being a bridesmaid in the first place.
Yeah, that was a big one, especially to someone that. God, Lulu was such a douche. Like, I normally reserve that for men who are not, you know, who are just misogynistic or belittling or whatever, but no, Lulu was an utter douche.
It's my special day. Yeah,
I mean, I'm good for you. Hey, I'm all about you celebrating your special day. Don't celebrate your special day at the cost of other people. That's my point. Anyway,
and also remember that it's your special day, not everyone's special day. Like, for other people, they're just going to a wedding. It's not the most important day of their lives. I think sometimes brides forget that. Well, for the guests, it's just another event.
The problem with that is, and I get it, we wouldn't have that conflict if this had happened. But at that point you say, hey, Jen, did you get my package? Did you get my invite? Are you said yes? Hey, I just want you to like, I just want you to understand. I understand you got this whole She-Hulk thing going on and that's awesome for you, but I would really appreciate it if you were just Jen when you came.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I know that's not dramatic. It's not funny. It's not disappointing for us or for Jen in the moment, but,
it's like Holloway. He didn't warn her that he expected her to be She-Hulk at work.
But to be fair, she also didn't ask any questions when she accepted the job.
And yeah, what he should have said is, I want to have a meeting with you on Monday to talk about a job offer. And then that should have been all of the conversation while she was drunk. But we've already covered that.
we've already addressed the massive ethical violations going on by several people. But... but yeah, and then the hooking up. I did think that the whole how did she figure out like plus ones for this? Like, I don't know. I did think that was funny. It's like because I'm my next week is my retirement party, and I am like, hey, this person I'm inviting their family. This person I'm inviting just them. And maybe they don't understand how that is, like, but most of the time it's just, if they're married, you make, like you say, plus one, or if you know their spouse or, significant other, then you invite, you give them a plus one, but, I did think that was a funny line because it almost did feel like she was isolating Jen so that she couldn't bring somebody else.
Exactly. Lulu had a couple of great lines, like, when all the other women were admiring Jen's butt. In her She-Hulk form, Lulu like charges ass. Through the group. Yeah, everybody has an ass.
I'm sorry to steal that line, but that one made me chuckle.
Oh, it was so good. And then, are you familiar with the comedy folk music duo Garfunkel and Oates?
Oh, yes. I love our Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah. So the scene where Lulu's like, oh, Jen, I want to catch up. What's new with you? And then Jen's like, well, I'm at this law firm and it's prestigious. And then she's like, no, are you dating anyone? Right. It reminded me a lot of their song, Pregnant Women Are Smug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone knows it. Nobody says it because they're pregnant. Yeah.
So if you have not discovered Garfunkel and Oates, go look it up on YouTube. My personal favorite is The Loophole. It is not safe for children. It is not safe for work. But The Loophole is the most comical of those songs. So if you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's Ricky Lindhart or something like that.
Lindholm.
Kate
Micucci.
Kate Micucci and Ricky Lindholm. Yes, thank you very much, Penny. No, I didn't think about that, but that absolutely matches. That absolutely fits.
Any excuse to bring up Garfunkel and Oates, because I think they're brilliant and charming.
They are hysterical.
My favorite of their songs is Weed Card. Weed Card kills me.
Oh, yeah, Weed Card's good too. Basically, they're the female Tenacious D, in my opinion. And if you're not familiar with Tenacious D, you should check them out too. Also, not safe for work. You should check them out. It's Jack Black and Kyle Gass, and then Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci. Those are the unsung heroes of our brains this week.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So that pretty much finishes my second point.
I had a wedding point too, which was first about why are the bridesmaids being mean? I wanted to point out a couple of fun aspects of the wedding. When Jen was dancing by herself, the song was Walking on Broken Glass, which is all about being uncomfortable and just putting up with it anyway. I thought, it was funny that Ched was the DJ and that his DJ name is DJ Incredible Hulk.
That was so funny.
When the fight broke out, he yelled, wedding fight, blew some air horns, and then started playing the electric slide of all things. Yeah.
That scene was so good.
So it was delightful. Everything about the fight was great. I have a nerd question about it. When Titania sucker punches Jen when she's barfing.
Yep.
And she like flies through the air and tumbles on the brick pavers, mm-hmm. why didn't she automatically turn into She-Hulk?
So that is a good question. I do wonder if Jen's skin is also impenetrable.
So she wasn't hurt by that?
Yeah. So I don't think that she's, I mean, like, you would make the argument that maybe she would start bleeding from her nose because she got punched in the nose by a superpowered person. Maybe like she got sucker punched. So it'd be surprised, kind of like, you know, but it makes me wonder if there, I think maybe you found a plot hole, but, I'm just going to say that because I feel that like Titania punching someone, a superpowered person punching someone, regardless of superpowers, if in their like normal form, they would at least start to bleed. I'm going to go with the assumption, and this is, yes, this is me making excuses for the show, and that's okay. I am fine with mm-hmm. that. I accept it. That for that moment, she recognized that it was Titania. Her gut instinct, kind of like her spider sense, noticed it and was like, oh God, it's Titania. And so her face changed into Hulk form for a second as she got hit. I'm just saying, it's like Emma Frost and her diamond shape or form or whatever. I'm just going to throw it out there and see what sticks. I'm going to choose to believe that because yes, she should have been bleeding if she was still in Jen form. Although her like drunken stumble to her feet and like, come on, I won that fair and square was her delivery was fantastic. It was phenomenal.
And then when she turns into She-Hulk and first of all, she slams the ground with her foot, throwing Titania through the air. That was fantastic.
It was so good.
And then she walks into the room where everybody is and she sees Josh and she gives him this little like shrug wave thing that was so cute.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've been waiting for that to see She-Hulk like in this like relatable, cute moment. It was really great. I'm nervous about Josh. He seems too good to be true, and I was a little worried that he was a spy.
I understand that, and I would say I would tend to agree with you, and I think that we are supposed to believe that, specifically because it transitioned from, did we hit with the fries, and then it backs out to the spy cam. I think that we are supposed to believe that. I'm hoping that it is not. I'm hoping maybe it's like a 10 Things I Hate About You type moment where he was paid to go do this. And then he actually like, you know, kind of maybe not falls for her, but like is like, oh, she's actually a really cool person and blah, 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 blah. But
I would like her to have like at least one like cool dude in her life.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I mean, besides Pug. Pug is also cool.
Oh, yeah. He's not. No, but yeah, I would like
he's for not her a romantic to, prospect.
Yeah, exactly. I would like for her to have some sort of God, does this make us like the people that are like, oh, we shouldn't depend on her to have a happiness moment or need a male or whatever. You know what? F that. I'm sorry. But seeing somebody who, you know, be happy in a romantic or some sort of companion relationship, you know, if you don't like it, stop listening.
Yeah.
I don't care. I like it. That's what I want.
In this show where her character clearly wants to find romantic love, wanting that for her is unproblematic. When it becomes a problem is when it's like in the middle of like an Avengers Endgame and people are like, they should get together. It's like they're in the middle of a war, people. Like, but this show is a rom-com. I mean, she's supposed to date and meet men, and it's supposed to be silly. So
one of the best things about that I've heard talked about as far as the movie Moana, and I'm sorry because it's one of the movies that my children love to watch, and so we watch it, is that Maui, while she does Han Solo her, he's not there as a romantic interest. She doesn't need a man to go and do things for her or make her happy or whatever the case is. And for that movie, it fit. But I think you're right. I think for this show, it's perfectly fine to want her to find at least companionship, at least somebody she can sit down and have some bomb ass fries with. And yeah. So I'm not trying to be mean to anybody who thinks otherwise, but yeah, I like it. I may not be a romantic heart, but I am, in fact, somebody who likes people being happy. All right, so that was a little bit of a tangent.
That's okay. I wanted to point out that Titania's face after she fell on her face on the ice cubes on the floor, with her veneers all broken and her eyelash like down on her cheek, was one of the funnier physical gags I've seen in a long time. Like, her teeth made her look like a jack-o'-lantern.
She looked like a classic jacked-up redneck with, like, her teeth all gapped and all that. And you're going to go, oh, you're going to share this with your 11 followers on Instagram? It was so very classically Titania, even though we've only seen her in, like, 3 episodes. I mean, we've gotten a sense of who she is and what she likes.
And when she was so mean to Jen at the rehearsal dinner and she's like, it's not always about you, Jennifer. I was like, hit her in the face. Hit her in the face. Like, she's such a jerk.
I mean,
her rainbow fur, though, I want it. I want it so bad. Titania, at the rehearsal dinner, she had this like rainbow fur boa thing. I would wear that all the time.
Okay. Look at that fashion. even in this, what I find funnier is that it wasn't the punch to the face by a Hulk that messed up her veneers. It was her slipping and falling on her face on some ice. Like that made it even funnier. It wasn't even like, hey, you got into a fight with a super and you got messed up. No. You literally slipped and fell on your face and then stole a cake.
Yeah.
I'm taking this. This wedding sucks. It was so funny. Jamila Jamil, I love you.
Yeah, she's charming and wonderful.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Even though in this you're super crappy, she's like the Damon of She-Hulk. She's so bad, but she's great to watch.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun to watch. And he is, of course, referring to Damon Targaryen on House of the Dragon, who is one of the funner villains I've ever seen since Loki. He's just delightful.
He's still delightful in doing horrible things, yes.
Oh, he's a horrible, horrible person. Yeah. So entertaining to watch.
If you'd like to check that out, you can watch that and then listen to the podcast by Rima and Kristen over on Dragoncast. You should check it out. It's pretty good.
That is true.
All right. Shameless plug for Podcastica. All right. Fantastic. All right. What's next on the bingo checklist?
I have Intelligentsia as my next thing.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
So they're clearly making fun of like white supremacy and incel websites, right? There's these websites out there, I'm not going to give them any traffic, where people post memes exactly like the ones they showed us. The front page, the stories were weird rubber guy falls off building and survives, which was, of course, Mr. Immortal. 24-hour loop of countryside driving with like a pretty picture that looks like every car ad ever, where it's like a curving road in the mountains. Top 10 best travel destinations, and it highlighted Cookville. I don't know if that's an inside joke. And Slutty She-Hulk. And that section was members only. And the members only section is run by Hulk King, all one word. And that is a little Hulk face with a crown on it. And they had to, Nikki and Mallory had to make up a fake profile to get approved to be members in this members only section. And there were a bunch of memes in there. There was one that was hashtag cancel She-Hulk. And it said, she discriminates against anyone who doesn't share her pathetic man-hating ways. If she were a man, she would be canceled already. Think about it. There was a meme that said, when you Hulk, but you still dumb. And it was a picture of Jen next to a picture of She-Hulk and their eyes were like crossed out with red. Someone said, someone just shoot She-Hulk, Why hasn't anyone already done it? It's not that complicated, bro. Kill the bitch already so we can move on. I'm sick of hearing about this bitch. Yeah, there was one of a list of best memes, and there was another version of the when you Hulk, but you still dumb. There was one that said, wants equality, still wants you to pay for dinner. One said, wears yoga pants, mad when you look, which I've seen that direct thing on the internet. Guilty of dressing like a man. That one's actually true, in my opinion. That gray suit was horrible.
That gray suit was pretty bad.
And then there was another reference. It was, how do we SWAT She-Hulk? Do regular police weapons kill her? Can we just SWAT her and get rid of her? And if you don't know what SWATting is.
It did get more and more dark.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. SWATting is when somebody calls the police and says that someone they don't like is like, you know, has kidnapped someone or is hoarding weapons in their house or something dramatic that gets the SWAT team called out. And sometimes the person ends up getting killed or their house gets shot up or like it's a horrible thing to do to a person. There was another article that said 8 reasons She-Hulk needs to die. And then one that said, how do we kill She-Hulk? And there were these like target pictures over her face and they were requesting all ideas. And then the last one was She-Hulk isn't even that strong. If She-Hulk and the real Hulk, it was all in caps, got into a fight, the Hulk would totally kick her butt. No questions asked. I don't know what I'd even do if I saw them fighting though. LOL. I might have to get in the ring with them and beat up She-Hulk myself because she's not even strong.
Yeah, I did think that one was funny because if you paused it and like read it and all that, you're like, whoa, we saw that in episode one. Cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Not even strong. And that just as an aside that Nikki used phrases men have actually said to her on the internet when she was creating her fake profile. And then okay. Nikki and Mallory.
With regard to that, I imagine that was like, hey, what are some things that people have said to you from women in the writer's room or whatever?
Oh, hey,
let's just put them in here because I can only imagine that. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been an online dating person and we've talked about it. And I say play the game because the game is stupid, but you know, there's something to being kind of a dick and, you know, actually getting someone to respond to you. At least that was back like 2003. But yeah.
Wouldn't work on me anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're in your 40s, you're like, okay, this is stupid. I'm not doing this. But in your 20s, you just like, at least as a guy in my early 20s, it was like, I just needed to get somebody to talk to me. Maybe at that point, I can like use my personality. I was also a rather large person, so confidence was low.
Aging myself, when I was in my early 20s, there was no internet dating.
Oh.
Yeah. It just was not an option. Nikki and Mallory disagree about whether to tell Jen about all these dark, mean, horrible things on the internet. Mallory's like, they're just trolls. Don't give them attention. That's what they want.
And Nikki's but they're like, death threats.
They're like, death threats.
You need to let her know about this.
I learned from West Wing, you take death threats seriously.
Right.
You can ignore the other stuff. So Nikki just goes ahead and leaves Jen a really terrifying voicemail. I can't imagine getting that voicemail as like drunk Jen later in the evening. But I think there is some truth to the idea that, you know, you shouldn't react to trolls or feed the trolls or whatever. But
right.
Jen has a right to know about the death threats.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah.
And then there's more about Intelligentsia, but it's a little spoilery. So I thought maybe we could talk about it like at the end and people could skip over it if they want to.
Okay. It'll be spoilery for me because I don't know what you're talking about. But
cool.
All right. So speaking of swatting, thank you, Penny. I didn't know what swatting meant. That makes a lot of sense. Last week we talked about a drip broker and I wanted to thank Hank Allen, who's a host on, Strange Indeed and on, Run for Your Lives that he informed us that a drip broker is not in fact something with a with, you know, direct reinvestment, whatever I was talking about, program or whatever that I was talking about last week. It's actually like someone who helps you find clothes, find for your drip. But I didn't know that drip meant fashion. Maybe because it hangs off of you. I don't know. But yeah, I thought thanks, Paik. Appreciate
thanks,
it. Paik. I'm now up to date on that particular piece of lingo. Thank you very much.
As we've talked about,
we've talked about aging ourselves a little bit or dating ourselves a little bit. That's where we're at.
Josh and Jen, when they were eating fries, Josh says, "Did we hit?" And she said, "Yeah, we definitely hit." That just was a phrasing that I'm not familiar with. And I was like, is that West Coast young people slang? Like, what is that?
I mean, the way that I heard it or the way that I interpreted it was that she tried the fries. Like, hey, did we hit a good, like, hey, are the fries good, basically? And yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, we hit.
I'd never heard it put that way before. It just was.
It immediately knocked me back to Battleship. Did we hit or was it a hit? Yeah. again, back in the 80s. So anything else for your number three?
Nope.
Okay. So my last point is the fight. The fight was so good. And I mean, if we just start from drunk Jen getting punched in the face by Titania, and of course I literally said this isn't over, hater. And then you know what? You're not even gonna turn. Come on. And then she's just like, okay, fine. And very obviously reminiscent of Endgame, where Bruce won't change into. I'm sorry, Infinity War, where Bruce won't change into Hulk. and then she's like, okay, fine. And so you get the blinking and very similar to Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, where he like wakes up and he no longer needs his glasses. She goes from drunk to not drunk very quickly. A sobering moment, if you will. And then, she ground slams her with her foot, which I thought was interesting, although not much leverage, whatever, you know, hey, it's a comic book show.
Yeah.
And she like launches herself at Titania, and then Titania like stops her by kicking her in the stomach, and then they trade blows, and the punch that I figured would have knocked out Titania's teeth. Was so well visualized and so well put together, and Jin's hand was so giant coming through her face.
And it so the punch was toward camera, and then Titania's face like flies toward the camera.
It was a straight 300 moment.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful cinematography or computer graphics or however they filmed it. It was great. And then we talked about the fall and the veneers and all that. And seeing Titania's getting new veneers in the end credits was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The fight in general was hysterical and fantastic and, just great. Now I talked about the fight and now I'm going to talk about the dress or the dresses. So yes. Penny is normally the person to talk about the fashion. but I really don't understand why when they very specifically addressed that, what was the guy's name?
Luke.
That Luke would make her things that fit both bodies.
Yes.
Why didn't it fit both bodies?
I know. Jen had to like hold the dress up and like.
Yeah, she was
like
holding it up.
Almost trip on it.
She's literally like, she looked like a little girl in her mom's clothing. And like, with the, like, don't get me wrong, still a you know, attractive and, you know, low cut and all that. But I was just like, but the whole point was to get clothes that yeah. fit both. And this absolutely does not. Like if you got something like in Back to the Future 2, where, you know, the vest shrinks down to whatever size you're supposed to be, that works. I get it. That's Back in the Future, and this is stretch pants or stretch shirt or dress or whatever. But yeah. I didn't understand why the clothes still didn't fit Jen.
When yeah, I was really upset by that. And yeah. I also thought that polka dot dress was really boring. I was like, why is she so excited about this lame, plain, boring dress?
I will disagree. This is my personal opinion. I thought the dress looked great.
I mean, she looked really good, but I would expect a custom designer dress to be a little more interesting.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. I mean, I personally thought that she looked phenomenal. I mean, I think that any woman would look phenomenal in a dress like that. But if only I could get my wife to wear something like that, that'd be pretty cool. Anyway,
the dress actually reminded me a lot of the polka dot dress in Pretty Woman. It's a kind of iconic look. Where she goes to the polo match. No, she wears this like brown and white polka dot dress to the polo match where she encounters the jerk lawyer played by George Costanza. What's his name? Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
And you know, he makes her feel cheap and it's awful. But that dress is like burned into
her hair was like slicked down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we're remembering Pretty Woman, which is funny because I just watched The Office where Dwight had the Pretty Woman, the shop owner. But anyway.
Oh, that's funny. It's an iconic look in the mind, I think, of every woman in Gen X is that Pretty Woman polka dot dress. So when I saw a polka dot dress in a green field, I was like, is that intentional? Yeah, I never know with this show.
That's fair. And then, it was weird. It looked like once she hulked out, like her dress looked like a pink teddy.
Yeah.
Like, is that right? Like,
that's, yeah. It kind of looked like a nightgown to begin with. That was
the pom poms up on her shoulders. And
I hate shoulder decorations. I really, I think it always makes your neck look short and your shoulders look too big. It's just, it's not my thing.
Gotcha.
The dresses were, I mean, they were okay as bridesmaid dresses go. I've certainly worn worse as a bridesmaid. When she turned into Hulk, it did kind of look like a baby doll dress.
Yeah.
Or like a nightie or something. But not horrible. Like, it still kind of fit her.
Oh, yeah. No, it fit, but it just did not seem like a dress. It seemed like, as you said, like a nightie.
Yeah. I think it was appropriate for comedic value for her to have the bridesmaid dress be too small on She-Hulk. Sure. That works for me.
Again,
everything else about that scene was both. So cute. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, Luke absolutely. Didn't make the bridesmaid dress, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's
so fair. Just the rehearsal dress is the offender.
Then why would she, if she just wanted her to be just Jen, why would she get, did it fit Jen? I don't know.
It was a little big on Jen, but too small for She-Hulk, so.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Was that it for?
For my main points?
Was that my point or was that your point?
I think that the dresses, that was your point.
Oh, yeah. The fight and then the dresses was my
point.
Yeah,
Greg with the fashion. So I just have my spoilery stuff. And okay, a couple
I'm
of just notes.
Gonna, I'm gonna, yeah, I've got a couple of notes. So I didn't notice it last episode, or rather two episodes ago. But when and maybe you did, but in the recap, I didn't notice that when she answered the door and the person serving the Sabina. Or the whatever.
Oh, process server.
The server. She pulled down her shirt because she was only wearing a t-shirt or a
Oh, and she thought She thought it was the doctor guy coming back.
Exactly. And she was like, oh God. And she like pulled down her shirt. And I was like, oh, I didn't notice that last time.
Yeah.
Just a note. I personally find that glitter bombs and confetti bombs are hysterical. I thought that as soon as the box opened up and the confetti popped out, and then she opened up the card and all the glitter fell out, I was reminded of my wife. I remember we were on vacation and her niece needed, we were sending her a card for her birthday, and I was like, oh, hey, let's put a bunch of glitter in there. And then later on, she got a call from her sister. My wife got a call from her sister, and her daughter was like, oh, I got your card. And glitter went everywhere. And her sister is very much like kind of OCD with regard to cleanliness and everything straight and everything. I was a little bit excited, and I saw all the glitter fall to the floor. I was like, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Because
glitter is so hard to clean.
I am eternally 12.
Yeah. I find glitter bombs really funny when they're done by gay rights activists to anti-gay rights politicians. I'm particularly entertained by that one. Glitter is unfortunately environmentally horrible. And it gets into the water system. And so I've stopped using glitter, but I have started making my own confetti by just like cutting up scraps of fabric into like mm-hmm. teeny tiny pieces. And then it's like reusable fabric confetti. Works pretty well. I also saw somebody who was using like a hole puncher, you know, to get little circles with autumn leaves, like dry leaves. And then you just punch a bunch of circles out and then you have biodegradable confetti, which is nice.
Yeah. Glitter, the herpes of the art world.
Yeah. It's bad.
It is pretty rough.
One year for Halloween, I put glitter in my hair and it was like 6 months that people were still saying to me like, there's light catching something on your cheek. What is that, glitter? And I'd be like, oh, bad Halloween costume. Yeah.
The fact that the wedding was on a Thursday. Who has a wedding on a Wednesday, Thursday? What?
I mean, it's a lot cheaper, but obnoxious.
Yeah.
Because everybody has to take off work.
We got another Don't Touch Me from Mallory.
Yep.
What's our motto, girls? Never again. then Titania had her boss earrings. Literally, they said boss.
Yeah. Tacky, tacky, tacky.
Yeah. I like Josh, and I hope something positive happens with him.
Yeah. Oh, their flirting was so cute. When she was Joshy, Josherson. And then she's like, your parents gave you a good face, too. It was just really adorable.
I did love his approach. Like, oh, I still haven't, still can't figure out how to not do an awkward introduction. Hi, yeah. I'm Josh. Oh, you should really worry. Oh, you know, like, I was planning on meeting a woman eating candy nuts. And I mean, hey, I'm right on schedule.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah. He was adorable. Their flirting was adorable. I really hope that he's in next week's episode.
Yeah. both at the beginning and the end, the Lulu motorboat into She-Hulk's chest was, I think, funny.
The drunk version of Lulu after the wedding has happened, it was a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Rather than just trying to avoid the boobs in front of her face, she's just like, oh my God, huge boobs.
Yeah, she went all in. I feel like Lulu, drunk Lulu and drunk Madison would get along.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like Lulu and Madison would get along. I don't think that Madison's getting married anytime soon, but yeah.
That's okay.
Absolutely. Green up was pretty good.
That's awesome.
All right. And so you know what? I think maybe we'll, give us about like 30 seconds to a minute. And we're going to talk about spoilers. No, sorry, not in 30 seconds to a minute, but right now we're going to talk about spoilers for 30 seconds to a minute. So, and spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Go ahead, Penny.
Intelligentsia in the comics is a villain organization headed up by the creatively named The Leader, who is played by Tim Blake Nelson, and he was in the 2008, I think, Incredible Hulk movie, and he's coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I assume that we're going to see a little bit of him in this show, and that'll introduce him for the MCU.
That would be great. However, I happen to notice, and I think this is kind of tied back to one of our last episodes, it was in the credits, or rather in the subtitles, it talked about Hulk King, or not in the subtitles, but on the little message it said Hulk King, right?
Yeah.
But I think that somebody mentioned or something about the guy who was so into her and like...
Creepy Todd?
Yeah, Creepy Todd. Yeah. I believe that somebody said that he was called Hulk King on one of the subtitles or something like that. Or on IMDb or something. And so I think that is... Todd is Hulk King, and we can only hope that the leader shows up. Maybe it's, you know, the leader's son or something like that. But...
Well, Intelligentsia is a league of villains, so there has to be more than one.
Sure.
And certainly Todd could be one of them, or related to one of them. He could be the one that runs the website, or he could be the leader's son, or he could be another villain that we haven't met yet. There's a lot open there.
Right. And then that was a giant-ass needle. Excuse me. That was a very large needle that they were replacing it. So obviously the person who put the giant needle on there, maybe made of vibranium, perhaps.
That's what I wrote in my notes.
was next to the broken needle that Thunderball or whatever, whoever didn't get the...
Who didn't get the blood last time. Yeah.
But that's all I have for my notes.
I had one other note, which is that in the closing credits, they show some photo booth pictures, and there's like cute ones of Jen and Josh. But then there's one where Lulu is kissing Jed. Kissing Jed,
right? Yeah.
So I'm like, and we never met the groom. So I'm like, I don't know who she married, but.
I did think that was odd that we never saw the groom. And then, there was one of Titania and Jonathan, too.
Yeah.
Titania and Lulu, and then there was pictures of Jonathan.
Yeah, and there were some pictures that were behind the strip that was Jen and Josh, and the top one was definitely Jen in her She-Hulk form, and then the next three, it was really hard to see what they were.
Okay.
And I felt like there was important information there, but I just couldn't get to it.
Gotcha. I did like the new ones were Titania getting her new teeth, and then the 20 seconds of eye contact with the ex-wife.
Yeah, that was great. That was a really, really good one.
Right. I'm still loving all of the end credit pictures. They're fantastic.
They're really, really fun.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. And we're back. Moving on to our next sections. We don't really have any news about She-Hulk, so we're going to move on to listener feedback. Now from Facebook.
Alex Baelish wrote in to say, all the episodes have been so fun to watch. This is like no other show Marvel has put out in the sense that it's a real adult woman with real non-superhero problems, which at first took some getting used to. Just Jen can't get a break. But She-Hulk can do no wrong. Laugh emoji, laugh, cry emoji. This reminds me of some of the Spider-Man movies where he is always flying by the seat of his pants, pun intended, to balance school, superheroing, and life. Green up! What a great one-liner. Jameela Jamil can play such a fun bad girl villain. The credit rolling artwork finishes up the story as well. I always look forward to seeing that.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Renee Elisa Goldsberry, I just loved in Hamilton and can't get enough of her here. She and Nikki were too much with that divorce case. Can't wait to hear your take and the rest of the show. Donnie Blaze out. I just love saying that now. P.S. Maybe she found a little love? I hope so. Yeah, I hope so,
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, that was great, man. I really appreciate you writing in.
Maybe they'll find a way to let Mallory sing, because she has such a great singing voice.
Yeah, she really does. She was what, Angelica?
Hamilton? She's the main female character's sister.
Yeah, Angelica.
Angelica, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was super good in Hamilton. And Jamila Jamil is like, this is only like the second thing I've actually physically seen her in, and she is so over the top. She's great. And my veneers, this, so funny. Not my teeth, but my veneers. All right. Sorry. I know that was irritating to hear, but, all right. So moving on, we have one voicemail from Thank You Penny, on Cast of the Rings. You reminded me of the word I was looking for, the venerable Steve Brown.
Hello, She-Hulk cast. This is Steve. I'm just going to give a quick live Steve for this week's episode. So here we go. Absolutely love Nikki. How do you say no to being a bridesmaid? You just say no. Can't wait to see this outfit, and I can't wait to see the costume. Oh, great. She wants her as regular Jen. Just Jen, attorney at law. The same dress. I wish we could see her transition. Kind of die. Is that asking her to tidy up and taking the guy away? Nikki circles the name of the site like she's going to check it out. What is it with Jen and everyone having her do these menial tasks? Now they want her to iron all these shirts? Her escort is a dog. Oh, Nikki's the best. Unconventional and excellent. Starting to suspect this guy Josh of something else. She just tried to punch her and fell. Oh, but I mean, sad, but funny. That ended. Oh, wait, maybe it's not over, but she just tripped on an ice cube. Yes, it is over for now. All right, there it was. Episode 6. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Steve.
That was awesome, Steve. That was fantastic.
I really enjoy a live Steve.
Yeah, I mean, and I haven't, like, we haven't heard many live Steves for comedies, and hearing him laugh over and over at the same parts that we were laughing at is, or at least that I was laughing at, is a lot of fun.
Yeah, delightful.
Yeah, he did bring up a couple things that I meant to mention. Yes, Josh is suspect, unfortunately. I hope he's not a bad guy either. The missed punch was hysterical. I could take you like this.
Oh yeah. Drunk Jen. Drunk, tiny, unpowered Jen. Yeah.
Yeah, and Titania's face as she's moving to the side. It was so funny. She's like, what?
And she's like, I don't want to fight you like this.
Yeah, oh God. She's not worth it if you don't turn. Oh, it's so funny. Thank you very much, Steve. That was fantastic. All right, but moving on to the Marvel question of the week. Last week, Penny forgot to she mentioned what costume she hated, but not what costume she loved. What's your favorite, Penny?
Well, I agree with everyone who said Wanda's Multiverse of Madness costume, right?
It was so simple, yet so
and scary
amazing.
With the black fingers, especially, oh, yeah. I thought were really, really powerful. But I really like Ms. Marvel's costume in the show. In the comic book, she makes her costume out of a burkini, and it's all homemade by her. In the show, they get the costume from her mother makes the costume from like traditional Pakistani fabrics, and she the lightning bolt has meaning, and there's all these symbols and things in the embroidered into the fabric that make it very, very meaningful. And I thought it was a beautiful merger of sort of superhero culture and Pakistani culture, and looked great on her and moved great and It was really beautiful.
I really did like her final costume. And I imagine that similar to that show, we will get She-Hulk's costume in the final episode. Yeah. As we're finally like, oh, yes. Although it is frustrating that, like, last episode, it was like, oh, yeah. Something crazy. And, oh, I want to see your super suit this episode. And, like, yes, show me the dang super suit.
Yeah, all her clothes were in those bags. Like, pull them out.
Yeah.
Frustrating.
It is frustrating because I want to see it, and I don't want to wait 3 more episodes to see it. Although we only have 3 more episodes left.
I know.
I will be very frustrated.
It's going to be over really soon.
Yeah. 3 weeks. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so for this week's question of the week, Penny?
All right. We got a lot of great answers. When I asked the question, who would you like to see crossover into the MCU from another superhero universe? I used Wonder Woman as an example because there was a recent red carpet interview with Gal Gadot where she was like, I love the DC family and the Marvel family. I'd be happy to be in a Marvel movie. Not that that really means that it would ever happen. But we got some responses to Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman idea. And Bill Reese says, or Rice maybe? I was thinking about this recently. For both properties, it would make so much money if they could work out the copyrights. Let's go.
Yeah, so much money.
Yeah.
Danielle DeMint-Juiced. I'm not sure Gal Gadot would be a good fit for the MCU. I'll leave it at that. I would enjoy seeing the Umbrella Academy cross over to the MCU, though. I'd like to see Victor Hargreaves and Wanda face off. That'd be interesting.
That would be. Their powers are both massive, but different.
Yeah. I feel like Victor doesn't really have nearly the control that Wanda does, though.
No, not at all. But it seems to be unlimited amount of power that Victor has.
Yeah, she just has to figure out how to focus it.
Yeah.
Sorry, he folks.
He, yeah. Yep.
All right, moving on.
Rinaldi Calixte says, Wonder Woman would be a great addition to the MCU. She's kind and gentle, but serious, and doesn't take lightly to foolish men. Star-Lord cough. Also, She-Hulk seems like she would be great at podcasting. She's very opinionated, but that probably explains why she's an attorney. Laugh emoji.
She does love to talk. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's true.
Cheryl Lowe. Tom Holland's Spider-Man and Grant Gustin's Flash. I find their lovable, goofy sweetness and humor playing off each other would make a fun, offbeat crossover. That's true. Like,
I agree. They have similar energy.
Episodes. Yeah. I think I've only seen a couple episodes of the Flash, but it's something that I think that I could really get into.
Yeah, it's super cute, that show. I've always really liked it. It's very upbeat. Bob Oakes says, I know he doesn't dispute until Black Adam, but I think Dr. Fate versus Dr. Strange would be all sorts of awesome. I get those two confused all the time.
So I'm not familiar with DC. I mean, I'm familiar with DC, but I don't know like all the smaller characters or smaller villains in DC. So I'm not familiar with Dr. Fate. I am looking forward to Black Adam, though. So maybe I will see who Dr. Fate is at that point.
Yeah, you'll learn. It's exciting.
Kelly Burgess, I would like to see Batman, please not Ben Affleck's version, in this MCU. Or maybe Martian Manhunter. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I enjoyed Ben Affleck's portrayal of Batman as like the old beaten down. I mean, not that he's that old, but you know, in his 40s or 50s, beaten down, just done this for a long time. I enjoyed that version of him. Now, if you were to take like the Michael Keaton Batman and have him show up, like that would be very interesting. Although at this point, Michael Keaton is also old and beaten down, although still a fantastic actor. How about your answer, Penny? Who would you like to see crossover?
Well, I think everyone knows already that I would prefer Edna Mode to Luke in the fashion department. But I was thinking a lot about there was this show that was on in the late 90s called Batman Beyond, a cartoon show that I absolutely loved. And the premise is that it's way in the future and Bruce Wayne is old and he can't be Batman anymore. He's aged out of it. And this teenage kid, for various reasons, sort of discovers that Bruce Wayne used to be Batman. And he ends up, you know, wearing the suit and becoming Batman with Bruce Wayne as like his man in the chair.
Oh, okay.
And it's, you know, it's set in the future. It has a lot of villains that are the result of, you know, science gone awry, a lot of biotech, like bad ethics. There's, you know, like genetic splicing and things like that. In the future, the Jokers has become a gang in Gotham City that all dress like Joker. And they terrorize the city and like just sort of with regular crime. It's a really fun cartoon. There's only three seasons of it. And then there's one animated movie. I keep hoping that they'll make a live action version. And I was hoping if they made a live action version that they'd bring Michael Keaton back as old Bruce Wayne. I think it would be great.
I've been watching some, I mean, by watching, I mean, happened to come across some YouTube videos. So well done, YouTube, on figuring out what I enjoy watching. But Kevin Conroy, who voiced Batman in Batman the Animated Series.
Yep.
Like he was, like he looks like he could be an old grizzled Bruce Wayne. Just with like that long jaw. And I really enjoyed, I mean, him, between him and Mark Hamill as the Joker, like that series, I mean, don't get me wrong, there was a ton of phenomenal voice acting in that series.
Yeah. But,
yeah, that was a classic show. If you haven't checked that out, it was Batman the Animated Series, that was called?
Yeah, it was really good. And there was a movie too.
Yeah, I think there were a number of movies, actually.
Yeah.
Like Under the Red Hood or
Mask Son of the Batman. Phantasm.
Yeah, yeah. I think there were a bunch of that. That whole series of animated ones are fantastic. That's not my choice, though. I want to see... and this is based on my recent exposure to the comic, because of the TV show on Amazon, Invincible. I want to see the Invincible. I want to see the Boys, and I want to see the Marvel or the MCU crossover.
Oh,
yeah. I'd love to see Homelander take on Omni-Man, take on Captain Marvel. Like that's the battle royale that I want to see.
Yeah, that would be an amazing Thunderdome, right? Just the three of them in there.
Thunderdome is an excellent way of putting it. Yes, it's, it would be last item standing, because alien, you know, man, woman, whatever. Yeah. It would be amazing. That's my personal favorite.
That would be a lot of fun. I first got into Marvel comics because of a crossover. I was a Teen Titans reader as a kid, and they did a crossover with the X-Men. And that's how nice. I even found out about the X-Men. And then I became obsessed with Jean Grey / Dark Phoenix and read every comic I could get my hands on that she was in.
So not to be a typical guy, but Famke Janssen's version of Jean Grey will forever be my favorite. I think she is absolutely stunning.
Yes.
But regardless of that, like her, I thought her portrayal of Jean Grey was like spot on to the comic. Other people can disagree, but maybe it's because I loved her as Xenia on a top in GoldenEye, but whatever. Yeah. So that's my other crossover.
Yeah.
Famke Janssen, please show up as Jean Grey in the MCU. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool. She could be a variant from some other Earth. That'd be great.
Oh, yes. What do we have for next week, Penny?
So, taking our cue from this episode, we'd like to know, which Marvel character would you want to be your best man or maid of honor, and why do you think they'd make a really good one?
Yeah, whether it's a bachelor party or a great bachelorette. I mean, I guess bachelorette party, the same thing. A great bridal shower. And let's be really clear, it doesn't have to be male, female, maid, man of honor, whatever, right? If you're like, hey, I want Spider-Man to be my maid of honor because whatever, good to go. Matron of honor, too.
And so, it doesn't have to be a powered person.
Yep, absolutely.
Any MCU character.
Would Nikki not make an amazing maid of honor?
Oh, my God.
Or maybe even a great best man.
Yeah.
Like, she would be fantastic.
She would plan an amazing party.
Oh, my God.
I would love to have Nikki as a friend. She's really very cool and very supportive.
I need to go find out what more stuff Ginger Gonzaga has been in, because if the writing is anywhere as good as it is in this and she can play that character this well, whew, boy howdy, I need to go check it out.
I think she's relatively new to TV and film, and this is her big break. So I'm excited that we're going to see more from her.
It is her big break. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more from her in the future. She's pretty terrific.
Yeah. All right. So that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you'd like to get in touch or find out more about Podcastica, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
You can write in or record a voice message right there on podcastica.com, or find links to our social media pages and other shows. And if you don't mind, give us a like or review, or tell us what we're doing better, what we're not doing great. Tell me that my voice sucks. That's fine. That's not something I can change, but I can do what I can to modulate it for you.
Thanks, Greg. What shows are you listening to these days on podcast?
Oh, so I just starting to catch up with Sandman, and I just saw Gwendolyn Christie as Lucifer in that episode. I'm a little bit behind, and obviously, you know, I was talking about House of the Dragon and Dragoncast earlier, but I cannot wait to hear Mark and Jamie talk about, like I said, a couple weeks behind, but can't wait to hear them talk about that episode of Sandman. I think it was episode 4. She killed in that as Lucifer. In that role.
That was a really great episode, especially beautiful. And wait till you get to 6. 6 is my favorite of the whole series.
I was just warned.
Great.
I was talking to Jamie, and Jamie warned me to watch 24/7, which is episode 5, when I have time to watch episode 6 next, because 24/7 is a hard watch.
Yeah. 5 is a rough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, we just got Handmaid's Tale just started last week, and episode 3 was out yesterday, and the season is insane and so good, and the Handmaid's Tale podcast breaks it all down and processes emotions with us and really gets you through. It's fantastic.
Oh, I need to push through, but I'm just trying to catch up on so much stuff. Like,
it's hard.
Need to finish Better Call Saul.
There's so much good content out right now. It's amazing.
It really is. It's amazing. But anyway, next time on this podcast, She-Hulk, Season 1, Episode 7, and I have accepted it now. No title released.
That's our show. Thanks for joining us.
Green up!
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.